often depends on how we deal with these things. Let's pray. Loving Father, we once again want to invite your Holy Spirit to be here. Let me deliver this message that you've given me, Lord, to deliver without me getting in the way. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus 14:21. I looked up on the internet a while back the crossing of the Red Sea. There are several different stories. One version says that God blew this wind that froze the Red Sea and caused the walls to be ice so that the children of Israel could see the ice and the ground was dry. One of them said it might have been frozen over. And I'm not going to go into that because I don't know. I'm not that old. I wasn't there. I only know what it says in God's word, that the Lord made a way for them to go. Man makes his plans, but the Lord directs the path, and he told Moses which way to go. I heard a story about these people. They went to Switzerland, and when they got home, somebody said, "How did you enjoy it?" And the lady says, "Well, the mountains were in the way. We couldn't see anything." See, so sometimes we're looking in the wrong place for the wrong things. And so they were seemingly trapped in a valley, and there was no way out. And the Egyptians had sentry posts all around the area where they were. They were in Egyptian territory. And so it looked like there was no way out. And I don't know how many of you have ever been in a position where it seemed that there was no way out, but God makes a way for us to pass through and to pass over and get where we need to go, where he has called us to go. History says roughly 3 million people left Egypt. Now, I don't know about you, but I would not want to have been in the back of that pack walking through the desert, because 3 million people are going to be kicking up some dust. I've been with our Kopuna Motorcycle Club on runs where we've had like 400 or 500 motorcycles, and they stretch back as far as the eye can see. You could imagine the trail of people that would be in excess of 3 million people, how far they must have been stretched back. You know, if they stopped at noon, it took until dark for the rest of them to catch up. Unless they were all walking like this, and I don't think they were, because I think there was a trail that they needed to follow, and there's a trail that we need to follow. Amen? And it's a narrow trail. It's not a broad trail. It's a narrow trail that leads into the kingdom of heaven. How many people made it into the promised land of those 3 million of the original group? Two of them. That's not a very good percentage, is it? The spirit of prophecy tells us that only 1 in 20 in our church are ready to be translated. I'm looking around, man. I'm going, wow, I wonder if it's going to be me. There is a denomination that says only 144,000 are going to be in heaven. And if I was in that church, I would never say another word to anybody, because I would be afraid they would take my spot. Thank God I know the truth in God's word. Amen? And it doesn't say that. It says that we will be as numerous as the sands of the sea. That gives me hope. If the Bible was full of nothing but winners, I wouldn't feel I have a chance. But I see in God's word that the Bible had a lot of dysfunctional families and some losers in there. They were losers. But when they surrendered and bowed down to the Most High God, they became a winner. We can be the same winner when we bow down and lay it all at the foot of the cross, like Brother Brian said. We lay it at the foot of the cross. We surrender our lives. We can be a winner. You know, we all have problems in our life. Somebody told Josie one time, they said, "Oh, you're so lucky to be married to him." And she just smiled. She's so humble. And when we got home, she says, "I felt like telling him, yeah, you think I'm lucky? You try living with him." We all have problems in our life. Sometimes you can't see it, but we all have them. And a happy relationship is a relationship in which you can overlook the faults of other people just as they're overlooking yours, because we all have them. Amen? Moses certainly had his. The children of Israel had a multitude of them. They'd been slaves for over 400 years. They had been indoctrinated in the pagan worship and in materialism and these kinds of things. They had been subjected to who knows what kind of barbarian practices when they were there for all that time. And so by beholding, we become changed. Pretty soon we become what we behold. That's why we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. My first camp meeting when I got out of prison in Nevada, HMS Richards was speaking. And the guy I was working for said, "You need to go and listen to him speak." And I said, "I've never heard of him." And he said, "You'll never forget it." And I never have. He said, "We as Seventh-day Adventists have a message to give to the world, and we're failing miserably. Jesus is coming, and we need to tell people because souls are perishing because we're sitting in the church, and we're not getting out and telling people." We are involved in a similar movement. We are not a church as churches go. We are a movement of believers. We've been given a message. And Leo and I, we talked about that message Wednesday on the radio. The three angels' message, that's a message of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. Amen. Things are happening in the world today. Even non-believers are going, "What is going on?" I tell people, if you're worried about things going on in the world and you don't have Jesus in your life, you better be worried. You better get where you need to be, and that's down on your knees. That's where you find where you need to go. We have 64,000 churches in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We have 17,000 pastors, 7,600 schools, 167 hospitals, 140 nursing homes. I hope they save a place for me. We're second only to the Catholic denomination in our education, our schools. Second only. We're the fastest growing denomination, according to some sources, of the Protestant churches. The fastest growing denomination, the Seventh-day Adventist. The movement that you belong to. Doesn't that make you want to tell somebody? You know, I hate to sound proud, but I'm happy to be a member of this church. Years ago, I painted the roof for the Canadian, French, Hawaiian Observatory offices in Waimea, and I got to talking to the engineer there. I told him I was a Seventh-day Adventist, and he says, "You know what? When I was a young man traveling in Cambodia, I got sick." And he says, "These people carried me to this clinic in the jungle, and they nursed me back to health. I was there for weeks, and when I left, I said, 'How much do I owe you?' And they said, 'You owe us $35. And I paid them, and I said, 'Who are you people?' And they said, 'We're the Seventh-day Adventists.' And I said, 'Wow, that's my church. That's the church that I'm a member of. Hallelujah.' And he says, 'Why are you here?' And they said, 'We're from Loma Linda Medical Center, and we rotate, and we're here all the time. This clinic never closes. We're here to help people that need help.' Isn't that what we're here for? To help people that need help? People that are dead in Christ? What do you do with dead people? You bury them. Where do you bury them? In the baptistry, to make them alive again. That's what you do with dead people. They're dead in trespasses and sins. You bring them back to life through the power of the Holy Spirit, through baptism. That's what you do with dead people. We have camps. We have all kinds of programs for the youth. I used to work for an organization in our church called the Christian Record Braille Foundation, Services for Blind. I had so much fun. And I made these, I was in Nevada, Utah conference, and so I had kids all over the state. And every summer I would go take them up to Leone Meadows for blind camp. And I remember one year my daughter was going to come and spend the summer with me. She was going to school in Santa Barbara. And I said, "Well, I'm going to be in blind camp." She says, "That's fine. I'll take the train to Sacramento and you pick me up." She stayed for blind camp. And I said, "Well, blind camp's over, so let's go." I lived in Reno. She says, "No, Dad, deaf camp's coming up. I'm staying for deaf camp." I never saw her all summer. She stayed for every camp. She got involved. She got touched with the Holy Spirit. She got excited about helping other people. Shouldn't we be that excited? I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. You can see it everywhere you look. Joshua 1, 9 through 11. Joshua 1, 9 through 11, it says, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, 'Pass through the host,' and command the people, saying, 'Prepare your viscrals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan, to go in and possess the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess.'" God has given us a land to possess. The land is called heaven. Are we ready to pass over into that land? Are we still struggling in the wilderness of doubt and sin? Are we still clinging to that golden calf? Or have we let loose? And have we embraced Christ? He did everything. There's nothing left that needs to be done except for you to get ready to meet Jesus. The question was asked a while back, is Jesus waiting for us or are we waiting for him? Guess what? He's waiting for us. As much as we're waiting for him, he's waiting for us to surrender and to lay it all at the foot of the cross. Matthew 6:24 says, we cannot have two masters. We cannot. We need to choose who we're going to serve. Choose you this day who you will serve. You know, just because you're a member of this church doesn't guarantee you a thing in heaven. Malcolm X, Sirhan Sirhan, and Little Richard had all at one time been members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Little Richard is still a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Beverly Hills. My nephew lives in L.A., and he attends that church once in a while. I don't know if you know who Little Richard is, but I said, do they ever let him do special music? He was a rock and roll singer that jumped on the piano and stuff, and so we had a good laugh, you know. But even people of the world see things are beginning to happen and unfold. Look at these tornadoes all over the Midwest, the worst ever. They say the worst in their history. And it's only begun. It's only begun. It's going to get worse. Everything is going to be so expensive. Ryan and I were talking about it outside a little while ago. It's going to get more violent. People get more desperate. When their children are hungry, they're going to do things out of desperation. I saw in the newspaper a while back, this woman robbed a Subway sandwich store. She went in and she made him. She had him cook a bunch of sandwiches, and she took them, then she took their money. She said, my children are hungry. My children are hungry. It's going to get worse, I'm telling you. Fortunately, where we live, we can grow food here. We're a little more sheltered than if we lived in Milwaukee or Detroit. I don't know how many of you have ever been to Detroit, but it's not a nice place. A turtle only makes progress when he sticks his neck out, and sometimes we need to stick our neck out a little bit. We can't be afraid to say something to somebody. What's the worst thing that can happen when you start telling people about Jesus? They'll either receive it or they'll walk away and think you're nuts. Let them think I'm nuts. But I'm telling them about Jesus. When I'm in the supermarket, people don't have a chance if they get in the line with me. They're going to learn something about Jesus. You know, there's always somebody that's having trouble with their card. You know, they can't figure it out, or they drop their pin. Or you know, old people, they always got to pay for everything with pennies right down to the exact amount. So I turn, you know, people start getting frustrated and they start shuffling their feet, and I tell them, you know, the Lord has given us an opportunity to work on our patience right now. So receive that. Receive that. And you know, it changes their whole attitude. Then they begin to smile and they think about it. Well, not all of them. Some of them get in the next line. Just try to get away from me. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is it. You don't know when you leave here if you're going to make it home. And I've had people say that before, and I always made it home so far. But the day is coming when we may not. We don't know when the top of that mountain is going to blow off. We don't know when we're going to have another huge earthquake and tsunami. We don't know when Jesus is coming, but we can certainly see the signs because they're all around us. And when we, people of the book, when we read God's word and we see these things happening, we need to tell people, you know what? Jesus is coming. Because if you don't tell people, you don't love people. Jesus says, you'll know they're my disciples if they have love one for another. We need to have a hunger for the souls of our fellow man. People are perishing today out there. They don't know. We have people call, when we do the Jesus hours, sometimes we have people call in and ask questions. When we do the youth program, Sabbath afternoon, the young people get on, they talk about what Jesus is doing in their life. And people call, other young people call, and they say, you know, I've got a problem with this, or my boyfriend, he wants me to do this or do that, and my boyfriend left me, what should I do? I tell them,
close the door.
Let him go. God has something infinitely better for young people than to be caught up in the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. They're of the world, and we are not people of the world. We are people of God. We're God's people. We're the remnant people of God, and we need to live our life accordingly. You know, people may not believe everything you say, but they are going to believe everything they see you do. Because I tell people, talk is cheap, takes money to buy popcorn. You can tell people stuff all day long, but if you're not living it, that's blasphemy. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. There's a lot of ways to take the Lord's name in vain. It's not just cursing, it's saying, I'm a Christian, and then you act unchristlike. My brother, I could write books about my brother. My brother spent like 17 years in and out of prison. And so when I got out of prison, I joined a group called the Heaven Bound Singers, and we traveled and we sang and we did prison. I went right back into the prison I got out of, giving Bible studies to the guys that I'd been involved in the drug business with in Las Vegas. I had a 20-year sentence. They had a 5-year sentence. I was out going back giving Bible studies. And they're all sitting there going, man, what is going on here? This is a weird picture. This guy used to sell us drugs, and now he's trying to give us Jesus Christ. Some of them received it, some of them didn't. I remember one time we went down to Las Vegas. We were doing some concerts down there for Taylor Morris. If some of you may know Taylor Morris, he's an Indian Choctaw Cherokee evangelist. And he called us and wanted us to do some singing for his evangelistic meetings. Then we went to Monument Valley on the Navajo Reservation. But when we were going through Vegas, I used to own part interest in this biker bar, and I was driving the bus. We had a Greyhound Scenic Cruiser, so I pulled in. There's all these motorcycles, and everybody in the group's going, what's going on here? This is a biker bar. Well, Ed, the director of the group, he knew what I was up to. I said, let's go inside and get something cold to drink. And they're all right behind me, and we all had nice suits on, and the ladies were dressed nicely. There's all these bikers. We walked in, you could have heard a pin drop. Everybody stopped what they were doing and looked. So I walked up to the bar, and Marlene, this old gal that I knew was tending bar, and there was an iced tea glass sitting there, and that's how I started my day. That was half full of 151 rum and coke, but I had an orange slice on it, and that was my health food for the day. And I said, that glass belongs to me. And she looked, she goes, Bill Church, we heard you died. And I says, I did die. And she says, it's Bill Church. So a bunch of the guys came over, and I says, we're having evangelistic meetings. I come to invite you folks. And several of them came. I was surprised. The people at the meeting were a little apprehensive when they hear all these Harleys pull in. But people won't believe everything you say, but they will believe everything you do. And people see you represent Jesus Christ and you represent him rightly, they're going to pay attention to what you have to tell them. Amen. You know, we have a song that we sing, God delivers again. And he delivers over and over, and he never stops as long as we keep coming back and saying, Lord, give me new strength. Free me from these things. Give me the victory over these things. And you know what? He'll never let you down. Amen. Luke 23 says, take up your cross. There's something we need to do here, isn't there? You can't just come and be the frozen chosen. You know, you have to come with the spirit of love. I've had people say, oh, I don't get nothing out of that church. So what did you take there? What did you go for? Did you go to be a blessing? If you go to be a blessing, you're going to receive a blessing. If you go expecting everything, you're going to get nothing. Years ago, we had all of our sound equipment was in the Hilo Church up in the front. And one of the ladies was complaining to Larry. She should have never complained to him, you know. And he said, you're looking in the wrong place. Look up. Look up to Jesus. Don't worry about that sound equipment there. Don't be looking at the people in the church. We're all sinners. Like my wife said, you think I'm lucky? Try living with him. Right? We all have problems. We are all still struggling. We're all still in the flesh. But when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, things begin to change in our life. Amen? Amen. Things begin to happen. Well, being young is beautiful, but I'll tell you what, being old is comfortable. And I'm comfortable serving the Lord. I don't care what people think about me anymore, because your reputation is what other people think. I only worry about what Jesus sees when he looks at me. People can destroy you with words if you allow them to. You know, I brought this up on the radio the other day when Leo and I were there. Romans 10:13 says, "Whosoever shall come to me, him will I save." I'm not casting anybody out that comes to me, that receives me, that wants to be like me, that wants to prepare their heart for heaven. I'm not going to throw anybody out. However, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You cannot keep the commandments if you don't love Jesus. However, there's nothing in the commandments that's going to save you. It's a test of your love and your loyalty to the Most High God. Who do you choose to obey today? The pastor, two of the pastors on the radio station one day, they said, well, I don't see anything in the New Testament that says we need to keep God's Ten Commandments. It was nailed to the cross. Pastor Vasily called me up and he said, did you hear the program? I said, yeah, I heard it. He says, what do you want to do? And I says, what do you think? So the next time we were on, a couple days later, we preached the Ten Commandments from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We went all the way through all ten of them. I said, let's save the Sabbath for the last 30 minutes. We spent 30 minutes on the Sabbath. Some people called and complained. I said, praise the Lord, they were listening. Maybe they complained because the Spirit's touching their heart. We're moving to a new station, and so we've been down there moving. And Leo and I, when we finished on Wednesday preaching the Three Angels message, I figured, well, that's it for me at the station. And so they called me up and they said, Brother Church, we would like to have you become part of our board of directors at the radio station. And I thought to myself, man, these are all Pentecostals. I've been preaching the Sabbath down there for years, and they're asking me to be part of their board? So this morning, I clicked on my computer, and there's a message from one of them that says, we hope you have a blessed Sabbath. So don't think that those people aren't listening and paying attention. We have our prayer meetings on Monday night. When I walk in, they say, well, here comes trouble. I've always got my Bible in my hand, and I've always got a smile on my face. I'm waiting for somebody to challenge me on our doctrines. And it's not about doctrine, it's about your relationship with Jesus. But you know what? Every chance we get, we need to reveal to people why we believe what we believe. And for years, you know, people says, oh, you're all legalists. You're legalists. You're legalists. I asked him one time, I said, do you believe that you have to have this, the gift of speaking in tongues in order to be saved? And he said, well, of course you do. And I says, you're a legalist. You're using a subjective experience to determine your salvation. It doesn't work that way. Jesus on the cross says, it is finished. He did it all. And of all, the least of the gifts is the speaking in tongues, right? That's the least. And so it makes them stop and think, because I don't, you know, I mean, I say it with a smile on my face. And some of them, you know, these are all pastors. And they're looking at me real funny, but they never challenge me, because I've always got God's word in my hand. I'm ready to open it up. I mean, I'm just like, come on, say something. Ask me about something. I'm ready for it. So they just smile, and we love each other. God's law shows us our character compared to the character of God. And the reason that you can't keep his commandments is if you don't love Jesus, because the law is the law of love. Jesus says, if you love me, you know, your children, you ask your children to do something. Would you go mow the lawn? No. Would you help me with the laundry? No. And then Friday comes along and they say, could I have a couple of dollars for allowance? What's your answer going to be? That's right. So you want God to bless you? You better be a blessing to others. You better be obedient to the Most High God. When God calls on you to serve him, when you get an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus, and you don't do it, don't worry. Somebody else will get the blessing that you dismissed. Because he wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be faithful. And he wants us to love him and to love our fellow man. There's no greater joy that you'll ever have in this life than to serve Jesus Christ. There's nothing else for you. You can have all the money in the world. Look at the rich young ruler. That was a lesson for all of us. That was his idol. That was his golden calf he was hanging on to. He didn't want to let go of it. That would have been a tough one. He wants us to have life and to have it more abundantly. He wants us to prosper and to be in good health. What's it mean to be in good health? That means you're supposed to eat the right kind of food at the right time of the day. That means you're not supposed to put unclean food in your body. That means you're supposed to go with the diet that God's given us in his word, in the spirit of prophecy. It's very plain. I got pigs tearing up my banana plants in my backyard. And so one of my neighbors came over and I says, boy, I'd like to get rid of those pigs. And they said, well, we'll come over and we'll camp out and we'll kill them and then we'll give you half the meat. And I go, you can have it all, baby. I don't want any of it. I just want the pigs to stop tearing up my banana trees. I remember one time I went to a luau. This is years ago, probably 20 years ago. And some of my buddies in the club, they said, oh, man, you ought to taste some of this Kahlua pig. And I go, no, I really don't want to. I mean, just smelling it, knowing what the Bible says about these things, just smelling it, I was very uncomfortable. And just like when you see people smoke. When I see somebody smoking a cigarette, I go, there's somebody that never learned how to read. Because it says right on the pack, will cause cancer. Do you think that's a joke? Will cause problems in your pregnancy. They're telling you right on the side of this pack of cigarettes. And so when I see people smoking, I ask them that. Do you ever read the side of the cigarette pack? See what it says? No. Do you know how to read? Well, yeah, well, read it. Why do you want to kill yourself? Killing yourself one cigarette at a time. I smoked for years. And I was talking one time to somebody, and I says, I was never able to quit. They said, you still smoke? I says, I didn't say that. I was never able to quit. I've just tried to see how long I could go without a cigarette. It has been about 35 years. I just tried to see how long I could go without drinking. I tried to see how long I could go without using drugs. That's what I do. I just try to see how long I could go without it. And the longer you go, the greater the victory. Amen? Amen. Those channels in your mind are habits, you know? They're habits, and it takes a while. That's why people say you got to get out of the rut. That's the rut you got to get out of, those habits, those bad habits. I've done prison ministry for years, and one of the things we do, we just tell them, look, when you get out, don't go back to the old neighborhood. Don't hang out with the bros. Don't go for a ride in the car. The next thing you know, they're running into a 7-Eleven and running out with a bag of money, and you're going back to prison. Stay away from that. Make new friends. Learn about Jesus. I do an education program out there. There's grown men that can't read or write. Women, too, they can't read or write. So we help them with a resume. We try to find them a job. We give them some training. And all the time, I'm out there, I'm telling them, keep Jesus in front of everything you do. When you go out and apply for a job, I have a program called 10 Ways to Get Fired. And I tell them, this is how you get fired, this is how you keep a job. You want to work, you want to serve the Lord, you can do that. But keep Jesus in the front of everything you do. Pray every time before you go out. Pray with your friends. When you go have lunch and you're with your hoodlum friends, drop your head and pray out loud. And you'll see them respond. Because what happens is, I tell them, you're up here and they're down here. And what they want to do, they want to drag you right back down so they can say, see, that God stuff doesn't work. We need to be an example in our community, in our family, and in our workplace of what Jesus can do in the lives of his people. And we are God's people. It's choice, not chance, that determines your destiny. It's the choices that you make in your life is going to determine whether or not you will be in heaven. You know, we can have a good time. I've never had more fun as a Christian. I thought when I was living in Vegas and doing all the stuff that you do in Vegas, and I thought I was having a good time. But when I accepted Christ into my life, when I surrendered my life to the Lord, when I got involved, I remember one time I was standing in the Reno church. Ed Downs pulled up in that big old Greyhound. It was a 57 Greyhound Senior Cruiser, all fixed up. It said Heaven Bound Singers on it, A Voice for Jesus. And on the back of the bus is Revelation 14, 6 through 12. Right on the back of the bus, A Voice for Jesus. That's who we are. And he said, get on the bus, Billy. We're going singing. We went to Great Falls, Montana, Salt Lake City. We traveled all over on that bus. And I can tell you right now, that's the most fun I've ever had in my life, except speaking here today and being able to serve the Most High God. There's no greater fun for me than this. This is more fun than I ever had doing anything else, being able to serve Jesus. What's your choice this morning? What have you chosen to do with the rest of your life? Have you chosen heaven? Have you determined in your mind that you're going to walk those streets of glory? Have you determined in your mind that you're going to follow Jesus no matter what else happens, no matter who falls away around you? Don't look at anybody else in this church. Sister White says 1 in 20. Make sure you're the one. Make sure you're the one. Don't be caught up in things going on in the world. You keep your eyes on Jesus. Make him your choice. Let's pray. Loving Father, how thankful we are that you have called us out of the world. How thankful we are, Lord, that you love us so much that you sacrificed your life. You gave your best for the worst. We are the worst. But through you, through the shed blood, through the power of your Holy Spirit, we can one day walk those streets of heaven. And we have made that choice this morning, Lord. That is why we're here today. And we just pray that you will bless this church and bless each person and each family represented here today, that when that trumpet sounds, we can all look heavenward and say, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he has come to deliver us. We ask you to bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.